Well, then let's go back to your grandfather, John, and his brother.
He had two brothers, Haskell and Cass Allen.
Now, they came to Tulsa, I believe, in 1904.
Something like that.
And I have it here on a loan from their grandmother.
Yeah, okay.
$300 to start a retail furniture store.
Okay. you have that's good information. Okay. So in those days, a furniture store also made coffins. That was part of what a furniture store did. So they were doing both. They were supplying the undertakers with coffins, and then that was the beginning of Mayo Furniture Company.
Right. And so then the furniture store had grown to a point where they could actually build a building there at 420 South Main. And the lower two floors were for their furniture business, upper stores for oil company space. Is that true?
That sounds right. You have good information,
and
John.
And then we have the Glenpool oil strike with more growth for Tulsa, which allowed the brothers to add five more floors for their building. By 1917, they doubled the height of the building to 10 stories.
That sounds accurate, yes.
And then the Mayo Hotel then was built by your father and your grandfather. And by Cass,
yes,
financed the building for the hotel, built in 1925.
Right.
And that's my background story. I expect more from you, but I just thought I'd fill that in right here.
You do good research, John.
And the rich and the famous would stay in that hotel.
Well, and Grandfather John Mayo, he liked taking trips to New York and was always enamored by the architecture there. And he tried to employ an architect who could simulate the look of a New York City building, when a lot of limestone and the brick and limestone architectural design. In fact, you know, I even have some of the old plans, and it's interesting to go back and look at those.
Hmm. Did you ever know him, see him, your grandfather?
Yes. Well, he died when I was about 14, but prior to that, yes. We would go on Sundays up to his apartment at the Mayo, and things seemed more formal in those days. You know, we would be dressed up for Sunday and after church, and we would go up. I think it was the 17th floor. It was the southwest corner. It was a large suite that they, John and Lillian had. Beautiful. Though I do have those memories of going. And he would also sometimes, I do remember that we were old enough. I may have been 15 or 16 when he passed. But he would allow us to come down on weekends and stay in a room there and run around the place. So as young teenagers, I have some great memories doing that.
J. Paul Getty lived there. Is that true? That's
correct. Now, I don't have too many stories. You know, I wish my father could have related some of those stories because he would have known all of them. It wasn't just J. Paul Getty. Like you say, there were lots of celebrities that came and went.
President John Kennedy, Bob Hope, Charles Lindbergh, Babe Ruth, Will Rogers all stayed there.
Elvis.
Yeah.
When he was here, two or twice, I believe, yeah.
And... Here's a note that I have. In 1951, the hotel was segregated.
Wow.
Until Harry Truman phoned the hotel and wanted his daughter Margaret to bring along her black maid. And yes, she could come to the hotel, but the maid was required to use the service elevator.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And, of course, in that time period, that was not just unique to that hotel. That was Tulsa.
Did John Mayo make an exception, or did you'd probably don't know.
It didn't say that.
Yeah.
It
right.
didn't, but
right.
Then they have the petroleum building. They built that too, didn't they?
I believe so.
Any more remembrances of his brother Cass too, or your grandfather John?
I don't really remember Cass or Haskell. I believe Haskell was bought out fairly early. And it was just John and Cass Allen who were the owners. And I believe John Mayo eventually bought out Cass Allen in the later years of ownership. I believe it was sold in 68 or 69.
So I'm thinking, out of those families and then coming down to your father, you've got a bunch of cousins around, don't you?
Well, not a whole lot, but yes.
And are they living in Tulsa?
Yes.
Your father, Birch, I know, told you many stories about your grandfather. Tell us about Ernest Hemingway and why that's an interesting story here.
Okay. That story I know fairly well because my father would tell it to me. So he went to hotel school at Cornell, and then his parents told him that there was war coming and that he needed to get his ROTC officer's training so that when he went to war, he would go in as an officer. So he did that at Cornell and then trained at Camp Huachuca, I believe that's how you say it, in Arizona, where he apparently was promoted, and I don't know exactly, but somehow they got him in to the entourage of General Patton during the invasion of Normandy. I mean, he was stationed in England first, and when the invasion of Normandy happened, Patton and his entourage came in probably on the third or fourth wave. Still dangerous, but most of it had been cleared by those first deadly invasions. And because of his background in hotel school, that he was assigned to acquire lodgings as Patton and his entourage progressed east across France. They would send him and a few soldiers ahead to get accommodations for the next camping area. And he loved telling the stories about that. Ernest Hemingway was assigned as a reporter, I believe, for Washington Post. You might be able to check that out. You know, as a, you know, war reporter assigned to General Patton and his entourage. And it wasn't that big of an entourage. You know, I'm going to guess a few hundred soldiers, but the people right around Patton was probably about 50 people. So my father was able to get to know most of them, and he got to know Ernest Hemingway. And he would tell one story about Hemingway where he was a fan of guns, but as a civilian, he could not carry a gun during the war, and there were strict rules about that. But the story my dad told was that one day Hemingway and one of the soldiers that my father knew, they both got guns and they went out just kind of on patrol, which again was very much against the rules. And the story my father told was when they came back, the soldier that Hemingway had gone out with was wounded and had to go to the hospital. And Patton came into the hospital later and told the soldier, "You son of a blank," as if he was really mad at him, and then said, "You're going to get the Purple Heart for this." So that was kind of the joke. That there was a court-martial about it, and no one was found guilty of anything because it's a war zone and they've got other things more important to do. But that was an interesting story.
Yes.
And then my dad and my mom were able to keep the relationship with Hemingway going after the war, and they would visit him several times.
He lived in Key West. Would they have gone down there probably to see him?
He went there, and Hemingway liked going to Cuba. And so they met him down there one time.
Wow.
Yeah.